The title is clunky, but the wine talk is smooth. You're listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff podcast. And I am so thrilled. I am excited in person with Hugo Bernard, winemaker at Domaine de Chevalier, a winery in Graves, the Bordeaux region that I've always been very passionate about since I visited them back in 2015. And obviously, they make killer reds. The red wines there are fantastic. But what also sets them apart is their white wine program, which often gets underlooked, especially certainly here in North America, where, quite frankly, we don't drink enough white Bordeaux. But enough about me talking, because the man is sitting here next to me, the winemaker, Hugo Bernard. Hugo, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast today.
Thank you so much. I'm very pleased.
Yeah, there's so much to get into. Let's start here. When did you take over winemaking duties?
I think from the beginning of my life, because finally, I'm born in Domaine de Chevalier. My family lived, my parents lived in Domaine de Chevalier. So it was not a job for me, it's a passion, because when I had finally 5 minutes free between my two courses or something like that, I was always in the vineyard and in the cellar, and I love that.
So for you, this was an easy thing. Like from a young age, you realized not just going into the family business, but just going into wine was something that you wanted to do.
No doubt.
So there was no other job or anything that you wanted to do.
No question for me.
Okay, well let's talk a little bit the history of your family. Can you take us back to 1983 and just the stories then when the estate was purchased by your family? And by the way, hold on. Was your father 23 years old when he bought Domaine de Chevalier?
Yeah. My grandfather bought the Domaine de Chevalier in 1983 because my family were in Bordeaux in the brandy business. And the question at this time was, why we have the possibility to be on the alcohol business based in Bordeaux, but without wine? And finally, we made the choice to buy the Domaine de Chevalier. And the Domaine de Chevalier at this time, it was only 18 hectares. And the previous owner, for him, that was not the previous job. It was just a passion, but it was a doctor at the same time.
So the previous owner was someone who loved wine, but was a doctor.
Yes.
How different are those vineyards now versus, are those vineyards back then versus now?
Yeah, but you know, Pessac-Lognan Graves appellation, because in 83, the Pessac-Lognan was not born at this time. Pessac-Lognan is born in 87, created in 87. So in 83, that was only the Graves appellation. And the Graves appellation was finally the smaller and the, in terms of knowledge, finally, the smaller appellation of Grand Cru of Bordeaux. And the Domaine de Chevalier, it was only 18 hectares. So nothing.
How many is it now?
Between 70 and 80.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's massive. All right. I'm going to bounce around because I got so much I want to ask you about. But for people who don't know, what do they need to know about the Graves appellation back then versus now? Because, you know, most people know a little bit about wine. They know, you know, they know Medoc and Saint-Julien, Saint-Estèphe and first growth, fifth growth, Latour and everything in between. And Graves is not that far away. Like, you can drive from Chateau Margaux to where Domaine de Chevalier is. It's not a long drive, barring traffic or construction, yeah. Obviously.
But finally, in the classification, in 1855 classification, we have two Graves, Mission Aubryon and Aubryon. Mm-hmm. And in 1987, André Lurton, owner of some Pessac-Lognan and Chateau La Louvière, he think about Graves appellation, and we had to do something better. And he made the choice to create the appellation Pessac-Lognan, which is the 10 village of the north of the appellation of Graves. And Pessac-Lognan is more elitist. I think Pessac-Lognan is more well-known than Graves right now, because Pessac-Lognan, it's all the cru classés de Graves are in Pessac-Lognan, are in the north of the appellation. And because of that, and because I think we are doing a great job for the last 30 years, I think all the Pessac Léognan and all the Cru Classé de Grave are more well-known than yesterday.
Mm-hmm. How important a role do you guys play in that? I mean, Domaine de Chevalier is, I mean, it's been around for ages and it's been making incredibly high quality levels of wine for a long time. How important has your winery been? And it's not just you alone. Obviously, it's other ones, obviously. But how important is Domaine de Chevalier in terms of lifting up the profile of that whole region?
I think the profile of Domaine de Chevalier didn't change at all because we try to keep the same spirit and the same style. But the possibility to make great wine in Bordeaux changed because of the global warming, because of technical shifts. I think it's easy to make great wine. And inverse, it's impossible to make bad wine.
Okay, hold on. I heard that earlier. We were doing a masterclass earlier about it's impossible to make bad wine and it's easy to make good wine. Can you explain that for the listeners?
First, a great wine is born with a great fruit. When you start with that, it's easy. Because finally, you just need a perfect fruit to make a perfect wine. So the most important thing, and 80% of the wine, it's finally from the vineyard. If you have a good terroir, and I think Domaine de Chevalier is a very good terroir.
It is.
If you have a good terroir, if you make the good choice to respect the terroir, if you make the good choice to pick the grape at the right time, so right time is what? It's right maturity, good maturity, and good acidity. If you have good acidity, good maturity in a good terroir, like Domaine de Chevalier, it's easy to make a good wine. In the cellar, you have nothing to do. Just respect the fruit, respect the juice, and follow the wine.
So stay out of the way of Mother Nature.
Exactly.
When I was there, and I do want to talk about it a little bit, about my passion for your vineyard became because of your brother, who gave me and my girlfriend a tour in 2015 when we had booked it and there might have been communication issue, and it happens, and they didn't have our name on the list and they didn't know what to do with us. And then suddenly your brother Adrian swooped in and he gave us a tour of the vineyard. And actually, we'll talk about this for a second. How important is that level of personal touch?
We all think because Domaine de Chevalier, it's owned by a family. That's very important. In a family, you have some spirits, family spirits. And the first thing is sharing. And we all think at the Bernard family, we have to share some bottle to speak about our wine. It's easy to buy a page in
Wine Spectator, Decanter.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I didn't tell anything. But it's easy to buy some page. But to spend some time, to open bottle, to speak about wine, it's another story.
Yeah.
But finally, it's harder to spend some time and to travel all over the world. Because finally, with my father, with my brother, I think we spend, with three or four people, we spend more than 300 days per year outside.
You spend 300 days a year?
Not me, yeah. But at four people.
Yeah.
Yes.
You guys are always traveling.
Yes.
Yeah.
My brother just came back last week, 10 days in Asia. He will be back in Asia, end of Asia for 3 weeks. I will be in US for 10 days in January. And it's just for the big exports. And inside that, we have a lot of small travel in Europe. It's not talking about the salon in France, because we have a big salon in France too. So we have to be everywhere and you have to open bottle with people.
Yeah, it's true. We and we'll talk about it in a bit, just the profile that we tried earlier in the day. But for me, like, I remember when I did that trip, and your brother's fantastic. We went in the cellars and, you know, pointed out, okay, the trees there, the forest. Well, that's where the Sauvignon Blanc is because it's a little bit cooler. And just, it really helps to contextualize and make you understand why the wine tastes the way it does.
The profile of Domaine de Chevalier is unique because it's between 70 and 80 hectares in one plot. Mm-hmm. So we have to choose and you have to manage how we have to replant for the future. Because of the global warming, for sure, the Sauvignon will be not at the same place today, tomorrow than yesterday. It's exactly the same for the Merlot and for the Cabernet Sauvignon. We have to to manage the vineyard for tomorrow, not for yesterday. And really, if the previous owner of Domaine de Chevalier planted the Sauvignon here, and why Domaine de Chevalier is so amazing, it's because at this part of Domaine de Chevalier, the Sauvignon Blanc is perfect. Because the temperature is always perfect. Because the terroir is just fresh enough, but not too fresh. It's just, and you have to manage like this every time. So sometimes when we replant a plot, yesterday it could be a Merlot, and tomorrow it could be a Cabernet Sauvignon.
That's wild. All right, now I want to ask you about climate change, but I want to go back to my previous question that I forgot for a second because I was stifling a sneeze and my brain just went away. I remember when we were going through the vineyards in 2015, your brother said your father back then was the one who decided when to pick. So how much pressure is that on your father or maybe you now about deciding when to pick? Because that is one of the more important decisions a winemaker has to make.
You know, it's not so hard. You just have to walk every day in the vineyard, test the grape to make the right choice. Because the right choice is just to be sure the grape is ready. So for the red, finally, it's very easy. Because for the red, when we make the choice to go on the plots, we pick all the plots, very easy. For the white, it's a little bit different. Because we have to pick it when the maturity is perfect. So sometimes 3-4 times in the same plot. And we have to be sure all the guy on the vineyard, all the guy picking the grape, are very good for white. So we try to keep always the same team.
How important is that? I've talked to that Palmer and other places. How important is it to have the same people every year coming and picking grapes?
For the white, it's very important. For the red, not really, but for the white, it's very important.
How come the difference between the white and the red?
Because for the red, finally, we don't have so much choice to make when we pick the grape. We don't have to be careful with disease, but when we decide to pick a plot, we pick it. So no choice. But in terms of white, we have to follow the color. We have to follow the perfect maturity. And when it's too early, the Sauvignon Blanc, it's not really good. And it's too late, it's too late. So we have to pick it at the right day. And that is very difficult.
Yeah, that feels like a lot of pressure. Climate change, and everyone argues about it, and you know, everyone gets into semantics about what is true, what's not true, and science and data and facts and all that kind of stuff. And quite frankly, obviously it exists, and I'm not here for the political conversation, but how have you sensed it? Just as a winemaker 10, 12 years ago versus now, you were just saying that where Sauvignon Blanc is planted now might be different 5 years from now.
The early days changed because 10 years before, the harvest was always in September mm-hmm. for the white.
Right.
And we finished by the red, by the Cabernet Sauvignon, mid-October and possible end of October. But now, we have a big possibility to begin the Sauvignon Blanc between the 20th and the 25th of August.
So, okay, so 20th and 25th of August, yeah. And before it used to be an early...
I think we have between 10 days and 2 weeks mm-hmm. earlier than before.
That feels a lot. That feels pretty big.
Yes.
And that's because of climate change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, but finally, the climate change, but we pick it because the maturity arrive early. And so we keep some acidity. So it's not bad.
Oh, no, it's fine.
It's not bad.
What I'm more curious about, not the whites, because you're right. You pick earlier and you can make sure that the acidity, you're picking at the right time. Do you worry, and maybe not just for you, but in other areas of Bordeaux, that the wines will become unrecognizable of what they were because if it gets too hot, too much alcohol, is that ever a concern?
No, because the 23 vintage just finished 1 month ago. The 23 vintage... we finished the red harvest late September, but late September, no in October, with an alcohol 13.5 maximum,
mm-hmm. yep.
which is good for Bordeaux.
Yes.
The difference is the maturity. And I think the wine of the future, it's why I always said there is no bad wine anymore in Bordeaux, mm-hmm. because the maturity is always here.
Right.
And that's the difference.
And also, how much does blending play a part in making sure you can always have, at the very least, a good wine that, depending on the what the vintage is, maybe more Merlot, less Merlot, more Cab, less Cab?
In Domaine de Chevalier, we have 2/3 Cabernet Sauvignon, so it's a lot. Mm-hmm. But I really think the terroir of the Domaine de Chevalier, the fresh terroir of Domaine de Chevalier,
yeah,
it became more and more for Cabernet Sauvignon. The Merlot, finally, the Merlot is very sensibility with disease, with frost. So we have a lot of problem with the Merlot, but we try to work hard with the Merlot. But the power of Domaine de Chevalier is the Cabernet Sauvignon.
Your guys' place is very different. Like, it's funny. You know, I've done all the Medoc and Saint Julien and Saint Joseph and Margaux, and for you guys, it's more. There's a forest. You know, like, just it is interesting how different your vineyards and your just the nature around you are versus, say, in the Medoc.
Medoc, it's 600 or 700 hectares in one plot with no tree, with nothing.
Yeah.
Pessac-Léognan, first, it's a city. We have a lot of neighbor. We have the forest. The land forest is just south of Domaine de Chevalier. I think it's unique for that because we are organic in Domaine de Chevalier, and for the organic area, this forest is just incredible. But I think the worst part of the forest is when we have some problem. When we have some frost, unfortunately, the frost arrived in Domaine de Chevalier, and they stay here. Mm-hmm. So we have some problem with frost. But without that, the frost is just unique for us.
How cool is it, you know, because there's a lot of major vineyards that have been purchased by giant insurance companies. And I don't even mean that in a bad way. I've tasted the wines, and they're still incredible. And, you know, the winemakers still respect the past. But I'm curious, just your connection with the grapes and with the wine, because you guys are still a family organization.
Yes, but it's a family, but it's a group mm-hmm. behind the family. Mm-hmm. The group Bernard, we trust, we have some small vintage, and the problem in Bordeaux, when you have a very small vintage, a complicated vintage in terms of quantity, it's easy to imagine selling the property, because today we heard about some different property selling for more than 1 million euro per hectare.
Oh, you could make a fortune if you wanted to. Yes. You guys could make a fortune if you wanted
exactly.
to.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's easy to imagine selling the property.
Yeah.
But for us, it's a force, and we are very proud to keep the property in the family and to keep that, because Domaine de Chevalier is part of the family Bernard, not only part of the Bernard group, but it's part of the family. And we have plenty of family dinner with 200 people, mm-hmm. and we are very proud of that. And to keep touch all of us in some different party, we have the same house for holiday. And we keep in touch with us.
How cool is it for you, just because it is family, like just in terms of pride, either family pride or for yourself, where the 2006, like when you see someone really enjoying a wine, like for instance, at our event today, the 2016 Domaine de Chevalier was fantastic. Of the reds, that was one that blew me away the most. But for you, how good does it feel when you see someone trying one of your wines and you can see the joy in their face?
It's always incredible because we are proud of the wine.
Yeah.
We are proud of the work behind the wine. My father always said the best wine of my life is a wine I will do tomorrow. he told to the team of Domaine de Chevalier, he told that to the team of Domaine de Chevalier after the 22 vintage. The 22 vintage is maybe one of the best, and I really think it's one of the best vintage we made in Domaine de Chevalier. And okay, so it's always an experience to work for Domaine de Chevalier. It's always an experience to share a bottle of Domaine de Chevalier. And when we make a tour with UGC or other, and we have maybe 300, 400 people coming to the table and tasting the wine, it's always very nice to see, oh, and to hear, oh, your wine is very good. It's one of the top wine I test today. And you are here between maybe 90 of the best vineyard of Bordeaux. Mm-hmm. And when you have someone telling you, oh, it's maybe the best one. Okay.
That's got to feel good.
Good to hear.
That's got to feel good.
Yeah.
You put a lot of work in it, but also it has to feel good because you know that the wine that is bringing someone else joy, it's the culmination not only of just your work, but your father's work, your family work. Like, yes. It has to feel like a greater connection.
Yeah. And Domaine de Chevalier, it's a wine for wine lover. Mm-hmm. We are not doing wine to be sure to be in all magazine and all, I don't know. But we want to make wine for people who are looking for. And really, all the people, all the customers buying a Domaine de Chevalier, they bought a Domaine de Chevalier because it's a choice, because they know Domaine de Chevalier. And that's very important. And for us, that it's a quality gauge. And we are sure this quality, that was a great quality yesterday, but it will be better tomorrow.
Before we get to the white wine program, was there a moment, like you always knew you were going to go in this, but where was there a moment when you 100% realized I need to be in wine? And also follow-up question, was there a certain bottle of vintage that really made you fall in love with this? Now, it may be a good question, but sometimes when someone says good question, that's a stalling tactic because they need a moment to think about it. And it's a tough question. And I always feel bad because some people don't have it. Some do. You know, for me, it was an old brick orange bottle of Barolo that turned me on to be like, oh my God, I love this wine thing. I need to learn everything about it. I'm just wondering if you ever had that moment.
I have plenty of moments.
All right, then you don't have to give number one. Give me a moment or two that really sticks out, that really when you were younger, where it just made you fall in love with wine.
I think, I don't remember exactly the wine, but a German guy came to the Domaine de Chevalier 15 years ago, or between 10 and 15 years ago, to open his cellar. It was a wine tasting 400 years of Bordeaux. And we had some wine from the 70s, the 17th century.
Wow. Huh.
To me, that's the history. But I don't remember exactly the wine.
Yeah.
But I think all the wine have a good story behind. And I love discover new wine. But I really think I really like wine from Italy. I really like wine from south of France. But when I come back to Bordeaux, I have always impressive because Bordeaux is unique. I can open some Bordeaux, some smaller Bordeaux. You don't have to open a big brand of Bordeaux. Yeah, you can open a small Bordeaux with 30 years old and it could be a great wine. I think we have in Bordeaux a unique area for that, because it's the only area to age forever. Mm-hmm. I think it's unique.
It is. And I say this all the time, so I apologize for the listeners being a broken record. You can find, because Bordeaux can be intimidating. You see the word Latour and you assume, I guess I have to sell my car to buy a bottle. But you can get a $28, $30 bottle of Cru Bourgois that's a couple of years old, that's excellent. And you can take a $25 bottle of Cru Bourgois, throw it away for 15 years, and it can age beautifully.
And that's the force of Bordeaux, the power of Bordeaux. You have some wine for all price. Mm-hmm. You can find some. And it's why you are very unique, because we have some second label. You can buy the same spirit, the same style of a Grand Cru in a second label for maybe 30 to 40% of the price.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about, let's start with your whites. Your second label white, the Spirit du Chevalier, the 2020, honeyed spice, just a rich finish, just freshness all over the nose. Like, just, it was a great wine. Like, I'm trying to find my notes here, but it feels to me that Chevalier, one of the things that makes you guys different is there is more of a focus on white wine than a lot of the other great red wine producers, which you guys are. But it feels like white wine is much more of a priority than a lot of other Bordeaux houses.
We spend a lot of time in the cellar to make the white. Because my father is a really a white lover. And we really think Domaine de Chevalier is unique for white. It's amazing for red too, but it's unique for white. And you have to work for that and to keep that. So we have to work a lot in the cellar because it's a lot of work to do. White, it's a lot of work to do, really. But finally, in term, I really think this 2020 is not a big vintage of white because it's a warm vintage.
In the beginning,
we need freshness for white. But in term, this white today, the 20 vintage of Esprit de Chevalier, was very good. Don't have the freshness of 19, don't have the freshness of the 16. But the power of the Sauvignon Blanc in 20 was amazing. And because we pick the grape a little bit early than usually, we have some freshness. Not in analyse freshness, we have some freshness in mouth. And that's the difference. And I think it's a lovely wine for that because we have a lovely balance between the power of the vintage and the freshness of the terroir.
It's funny how great vintage for red is not always a great vintage for white. I mean, it's almost, is it impossible to have a great vintage for both years because one requires more heat than for the reds than it does for the whites?
Yes, but today we had a 16 Domaine de Chevalier red and a 16 Domaine de Chevalier white.
Okay, you know what? Perfect. You know what? That's a perfect rebuttal. Those wines were both incredible. Your 16 white and 16 red were just fabulous wines.
And 22, I think, it could be the same. But in 16 is a fresh vintage, but at the same time, with power. So it's why the red is just fabulous and the white is incredible.
I got a winemaking question. We're going to hold it for a second. How often do you and your dad, have you guys over the years fought about wine? How often, either in the vineyard or in the winery, how often do you guys have any arguments like any family would about wine?
But during the harvest, we are going in the vineyard every day.
Yeah. You guys bicker?
And we are talking.
Do you bicker? Do you fight?
Yeah, and we are talking about the right day, the perfect day, not the right day, the perfect day every day. And we are talking about the best choice of that every day, because it's very important to follow and to be sure it's perfect. We have to be sure it's perfect. Everything is perfect. And so we have to talk about that every day. And after, during the year, we have to taste the wine maybe 3, 4, 5 times before bottling to be sure the blend is perfect. And it's a discussion between my father, my brother, all the team, and the team of Stéphane de Renoncourt, which is the wine consultant, because we all have to be sure it's the perfect wine and the perfect reason to put this plot with this plot.
How different and how similar are you and your father when it comes to winemaking philosophy?
It's my father, so I think I have plenty of similitude. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say.
Yeah. I didn't mean to go full, like psychiatrist, but I'm always just fascinated with winemakers. I'm always fascinated with how different are they when they got started versus how are they now. And so many wineries, especially in Europe, it is started with the father, then it's passed on to the son or to the daughter. And I'm always fascinated about how did your dad influence you and how are you different? And because sometimes there's the battles between traditional versus modern, between, just oak technique and things like that. So I'm always curious about that.
Yeah, but my father trusts me. He trusts the team because we have a technical director with me called Vincent Bernard, but not from the Bernard family, the same Bernard family. And he trusts us to make the best choice every day. And we have to discuss with him to be sure our choice is right with our choice.
You know what? That's a hell of a compliment, though, because he got into it in his 20s. He's been making wine for a long time. Then he had his sons. And then because I think it could be hard to sort of let go a little bit of your control and let your sons take over. Not 100% take over, but become a bigger impact on it. So for him to trust you guys, that is a very nice compliment.
Yes, but I promise you, my father is here, 100% here.
Yeah.
And it's just because the job changed a little bit. When you arrived in 83,
yeah,
he was 23, but Domaine de Chevalier had only 18 hectares. Now you have Domaine de Chevalier with 80 hectares, but we have behind that the Domaine de la Solitude, Château Lespaux-Martillac, and the Clos des Lunes. I think the spirit of winemaking changed a little bit more with more work every day. So my father just needed to have some people to help him.
Yeah.
So me on the vineyard, but my brother too, to on the commercial part.
So what's we'll end this because we have an event coming up very soon for the dinner. So everything has changed so much from 83 till now, as you mentioned, the size, the amount of hectares, the white wine programs, especially with you know the first wine we tried, the Lune de l'Argent. Where do you see it in the next 10 years from now? I mean, you guys have grown by leaps and bounds. What do you hope it is in 10 years from now?
We have plenty of hectare to plant. Mm-hmm. You have to improve a little bit the new size of Domaine de Chevalier, the new cellar, the new... And it's impossible to say, because I think in 5 years, if we have a nice possibility around us, because as you can see, we are always around the Domaine de Chevalier, because the Domaine de la Solitude is 5 kilometers, Lespaux-Martillac is 5 kilometers, mm-hmm. Clos des Lunes is in Sauternes, which is 30 minutes driving distance. So we want to stay around the Domaine de Chevalier, because we want to be sure it's easy to go very fast, and to be sure we can have a special attention of the vineyard. But it's impossible to say where we can be in 5 years, because maybe in 5 years we can find a very nice vineyard, 10 hectares vineyard around us.
Yeah, that's exciting. Not yes. Knowing.
That's very exciting.
Yeah.
But you know, we just vinify more than 200 hectares in 23. It's the right size. It's yeah. A good size. And if you want more, maybe we have to think with a bigger team, with other organization. But with the organization we have today, with all the organization, all the infrastructure of all the vineyard of Domaine de Chevalier is in Chevalier, one wine stock in Domaine de Chevalier. Wine, it's only one comptability in Domaine de Chevalier for all the vineyard. But if you are more and more, if you have more and more hectare, more and more brand, maybe you have to change a little bit your mind and
yeah.
your organization.
Hugo, I really appreciate you doing this. As I said, I have a fondness for your place, mostly originally because I met your brother Adrian, who gave a wonderful private tour last second impromptu to me and my girlfriend. I bought a whole bunch of your wine, mostly because of the quality, but partially because of the kindness of your brother. It's a really cool story. This family-owned plot since the 80s. You guys make some of the best, maybe the best white wine I've tried in Bordeaux, and killer reds as well. And I can't wait for the dinner. And by the way, if people want to go, eurovintage.com. If you're listening to this in Canada or even the States, you can find their wines there. But also, if you're in Bordeaux, it's not that you can take a bus to Chateau Haut-Brillant, and you know it's an easy car ride from Bordeaux to Domaine de Chevalier, and it's a beautiful slice of Bordeaux to visit.
Yes, and we are very open to welcome all the people mm-hmm. asking for that.
Yeah,
because when I said before, Domaine de Chevalier is for wine lovers and for people knows the Domaine de Chevalier, and so. If you want to come, and you, if you want to come back and
hell
see,
yeah.
Oh, we manage a new vat or
I love the last
new
time.
Technical sheets.
Yeah.
Please.
First time seeing those giant concrete tulip, vats. The first time I saw it was when I visited. So 100%. Hugo, thank you so much for doing this.
You're very welcome, and thank you for this time.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Remember, you can find me on Spotify, Apple, wherever quality podcasts are sold.
Thanks for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Happy hunting.